We'll call to order the House Revenue Committee. Welcome everybody here today. We're gonna kind of mix things up on the agenda. Representative Devlin, are you in the room yet? Okay, not seeing Representative Devlin. We'll go to Plan B. And that would be a work session on House Bill 2716. I think we can do that quickly. Open a work session on House Bill 2716, and Paul, you're leaving me. Does that mean Ed is coming up? Okay?
Ed's filling in.
Committee, you have two amendments before you, one of which I requested, the dash ones, one of which is coming from Chuck Sheketoff, as I understand. Ed, do you want to bring us up to speed on those?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. The bill overall, as you will recall, changes the working family child care tax credit to refundable credit. The dash one amendments change the effective date in the bill from 2001 to 2003, so it moves the revenue impact out of the current biennium. The dash two amendments change the way the minimum income requirement is indexed for inflation very slightly.
Sure.
What it does is, rather than having the $6,000 minimum income requirement indexed indefinitely for inflation, it stops it or stalls it when it reaches effectively 50% of the, when it reaches minimum wage at 1,040 hours total per year. So it keeps it more in line with what someone working half-time at minimum wage would be expected to earn in the market.
Okay. Chuck Sheketoff, do you want to take 30 seconds to give us your briefing on the dash twos?
Mr. Chairman, Charles Sheketoff, Working Center for Public Policy. The 6,000 figure was put in originally in 97 because that was approximately half-time of the minimum wage in 97 under the theory that we didn't want gaming. We didn't want someone who worked only 1 year to turn in a tax credit for 2,000 hours of child care, so to really ensure that it's a working person, but was tied to a dollar figure equal to approximately minimum wage. And so this, as Ed said, would cap it at whatever the minimum wage is, half the half-time equivalent. Someone wouldn't necessarily have to work half-time. Might work 15 hours a week at more than minimum wage, but to ensure there's a real work effort by the persons using it.
Okay. Any questions on the dash twos? Always on the dash ones, my thinking is twofold. One, if we can pass this out with the dash ones, that will defer the revenue impact. My preference would be not to have to defer. So if we get this out in this shape, and then after the May forecast, if things are looking rosier than they might be in the rebalance, the Senate could always amend this to accelerate the effective date. So this is a way to get it out now. Without the revenue impact, there's always a chance that we can amend that back in on the Senate to make it effective sooner. But my preference overall would be to get a bill out and not have to start from scratch again next session in any event.
And Mr. Chair?
Pardon?
Question?
Yeah.
Would it be better to keep it in 2001, let the Senate amend it to 2003, or if we don't, does it immediately go to Ways and Means?
I don't know about Ways and Means. My thinking is that we have an easier time on the floor, I think, if we,
that's true,
if we don't. There's still a $16 million, $15 million revenue impact in this immediate biennium.
Okay.
With that, the Chair would move the dash one amendments to House Bill 2716. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Okay. And the Chair would move the dash two amendments to House Bill 2716. Is there a discussion? Objection? Okay. Chair moves House Bill 2716 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the bill as amended?
Chair.
Representative Beck.
Thank you. Great bill. One of the truly good things we're doing this session.
Appreciate that. Good bill to balance. The morning's work, too. Mm-hmm. Good all the way around.
Good for Oregon.
Yep. Okay, please call the roll.
Representative Bay.
Aye.
Staff.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Excused.
William.
Excused.
Whip.
Escaped. Excused.
Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Dr. Morgan.
Yoot.
Sir Chaterley.
Aye. Those of you who weren't here would have to have been here yesterday to appreciate that inside humor. House Bill 2716, as amended, goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I will carry that, and let's show Representative Rosenbaum as co-carrier. Okay. All right. Representative Devlin, there you are. I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3000. Who is it? Oh, okay.
Whenever you're ready, Mr. Chairman.
Let's get our overview. Welcome.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Of the committee. House Bill 3000 creates a tax credit for principal paid by taxpayer on student loans, and it allows an amount of the tax credit to be the lesser of 10% of the principal paid on student loans during the tax year, or $150. It adjusts this $150 credit limit yearly to reflect cost of living adjustments, and it applies to tax years beginning 2002.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Chair Shetterly, members of the committee, for the record, I'm State Representative Richard Devlin from Lake Oswego and Tualatin. I thank the committee for hearing this bill today. House Bill 3000 is intended to be a positive incentive for college graduates to live and work in Oregon. Beginning in the 2002 tax year, House Bill 3000 would allow a 10% credit for the principal paid on student loans to a maximum of $150. A federal program was established in 1998 to allow taxpayers with student loan debt to deduct a portion of the interest paid. For the 2000 tax year, the maximum deduction was $2,000 per return. The maximum deduction for 2001 and thereafter is $2,500 per return. Since Oregon is tied to the federal tax code, the deduction also reduces Oregon taxable incomes in terms of interest. According to the 2000 Financial Aid Commission final report, on average, students borrow between $15,000 and $20,000 to finance their undergraduate education. The average income for recent bachelor's degree recipients employed full-time is around $25,000, creating a high ratio of debt to income for many Oregon graduates. College graduates now face vastly different financial conditions upon graduation than just a decade ago. As an example, I've selected a few potential careers and computed their hypothetical taxes based on starting salary for the profession. That's an attachment to the testimony. A beginning public school teacher with a bachelor's degree in Oregon earns about $26,500. An accounting graduate starts with a bank at about $32,000. A registered nurse would start at about $29,000. Please reference the chart that's on the attached to the testimony for what that actually means in terms of take-home income. To many of us, a $150 tax credit does not sound like an enormous incentive. However, for recent college graduates who are faced with significant loan debt in their first years of financial independence, providing some tax relief and incentive to quickly repay student loans is a sound idea. I encourage the committee to seriously consider House Bill 3000, and I'm hopefully that you ultimately will bring it to a work session. I do know that the Department of Revenue has indicated that they need some definitions added to the bill that were not put in by legislative council, and I'm fully amenable to getting those prepared for the committee's consideration. In terms of looking at the table that's been presented to you that's attached to the testimony, I just thought it was interesting to look at one of these, and I'll use the first one as an example, and I won't go through all three. But a beginning teacher in this state earns on average about $26,500. Based on them being single, taking a standard state and federal deduction, having $2,000 in student loan interest, which is a little high, but having that much interest on their federal and state income taxes, and one claimed exemption, they will pay, this would not be adjusted by that, but they will pay about $2,027 in Social Security and Medicare taxes, $2,599 in federal income taxes, $1,504 in state income taxes. That reduces their net income from $26,500 a year to $20,369 per year, or from $2,208 a month to $1,697 a month. If they have about what is the average student loan in terms of debt, $17,500, the student loan payment is about $215. So for an average starting teacher in this state, their their actual net to pay all of their expenses, all their living expenses, is just under $1,500 a month. I hope that the committee will give appropriate consideration to this bill and will consider passing it out.
Thank you. Any questions for Representative Devlin? You'll get back and work with your group.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gary Undini, do you want to come up for your 29 seconds? Or?
Thank you, Chair Shadley. Gary Andine, Oregon Independent College Association Executive Director. This is not the first bill this committee has heard this session that has to do with helping students pay for college in Oregon. And I know that every one of you has expressed strong feelings about that need to be met as soon as possible in the state. I want to commend Representative Devlin for bringing this to you. I think it's an important window on the problem, particularly from those students who are carrying large loan debts, and many, many are. For your independent colleges, about 80% of the students carry loans of this size or larger. Just in 1999, 2000, in that 1 year, students at the independent colleges in the state borrowed $150 million. To put that in perspective, the entire budget for those 16 schools is $500 million a year. 150 of that was covered by a debt. So this is obviously a huge problem, and we would look forward to working with you on this and many other solutions. We would hope they would all come together in some kind of a statewide strategy that looks at tuition policies, at state grants, at state tax credits, and puts all that together with all the federal aid programs, which are becoming extremely complicated these days and are becoming less and less focused on needy students. Thank you, Chair Shadley.
All right. Thank you. All right. With that, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 3000. And while I think of it, catch these. Piecemeal, let me request the unanimous consent to return to the work session on House Bill 2716. That's the Working Family Child Care Tax Credit, for the purpose of allowing Representative Kefouri and Representative Hass to vote. Is there any objection? We are in work session on House Bill 2716. Representative Hass, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Kefouri?
Aye.
All right, thank you. Close the work session on House Bill 2716. And now let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2934. Thank you. And who's got 2934? Dick. I didn't know timber was in this bill.
And they couldn't get it.
Gas tax.
Gas tax. That's
right. Yeah.
Please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Dick Yates with the Legislative Revenue Office. House Bill 2934 relates to transient lodging taxes. It is a revenue-raising measure requiring a three-fifths majority.